Let's pray. Lord, we do pray right now for all the prayer requests, Lord, that have been made. We think especially for, I won't mention any by name, but Lord, you know who they are, and Lord, the contacts over the week and even today that are in need of thy healing hand, and those that are traveling. We just pray, Lord, that you would just bless them in a mighty, wonderful way. Bring them back, those that are traveling, safely. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Revelation chapter 16. So we're still in Daniel's 70th week, obviously, up through chapter 19. And in chapter 16, if you go back to chapter 15, you'll see it serves as an introduction to this particular chapter. And then while the trumpet and the vial judgments have several points in common, there's both an intensification and enlargement under the vials. We're going to be looking at the vials. If you look on the screen, it says the first vial is a grievous sore. And I know that may be a little bit high, Robert. I just noticed that they sort of got jumped back up higher. The trumpet judgments were restricted to a third part of the areas affected. So if you're studying it and it says, you know, the trumpet, it'll frequently say a third, but the vial judgments affect the entire earth, except for the fifth vial. And we'll look at that. We're going to do an overview this morning. The trumpet judgments indirectly affected individual men. The vials directly affected all men, mainly those that had taken the mark. In fact, the last three vial judgments clearly state that heaven is directly at war with the beast and the satanic trinity he represents. As the wrath of God is poured out upon the earth, all associated with him must face the punitive consequences of accepting the claims of the beast. They took the mark. They worshiped the beast. He has an image, a mark, a number. And we know the number is 666 according to Revelation chapter 13, verse 18. But when you look at verse 1, Revelation 16, 1, the Bible says, "And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels." Remember, these are the seven angels have the seven vials. "Go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." So it's very clearly what these vials contain. They contain the wrath of God. Now, the first vial is then found in verse 2. The first went, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, upon them which worshipped the image. So very clearly who these judgments are against, those that worship the beast have the mark, this sore. So when we look at verse 2 in detail, we'll look at AIDS, GRIDS, those types of things that are human sores. But this could be something different, but it'll tell you a little bit about it. When you look at AIDS at the very beginning, they're putrefying sores, meaning that the skin is being eaten away. Same thing with leprosy. We'll look at that also. Verse 3, "The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." So, you know, it's interesting. It says every living soul, you know, talking about, you know, everything in the sea died. And, you know, it's just now basically the blood of a dead man, the blood actually goes to the bottom. It'll sink. It's heavier than water, thicker than water. But if it gets thick enough, obviously it's going to just continue to continue up. In verse 4, "The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood." So the rivers now and the fountains of waters where the water comes from could be the mountaintops, you know, but it's the fountains of waters. Verse 5, "I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and the prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. So these judgments are not unfair. True and righteous are thy judgments, the Bible says. And, you know, they you look in Egypt and, you know, the water was turned to blood. Why? Same reason probably given here. They shed the blood of the saints and then God judged them for that. You have the fourth vial in verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. The power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat. Now notice their reaction. And blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So they didn't repent. They didn't give him glory. They're being scorched with fire. And why? Because they chose to reject God, take the mark of the beast, worship the image, and God is now judging them with the wrath of God. We don't fall under the wrath of God today. Verse 10. You can go to Romans 1 and see something else on that, but for now, I'll just leave it at that. The fifth angel, the Bible says, the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Why they gnaw, you know, when you look at it, it's because of the darkness. It can become so dark that you fear. Now, remember, if an EMP device goes off, that's an electromagnetic pulse, it'll wipe out all circuitry. You have no artificial light either. And imagine, you know, if you go to Alaska at times, you know, darkness for hours and hours upon end. Men can't even handle foul weather for that long, like in Seattle. It rains all the time. And people, the higher suicide rate there in Seattle. Verse 11, and they blaspheme. So here's their response to God, you know, bringing darkness. They blaspheme the God of heaven. So they know who's causing the darkness. They know who's judging the earth because of their pains and their sores and repented not of their deeds. So what's God looking for? He's looking for repentance. And the world's going to refuse to repent. Even today, if, you know, when God allows judgment to come upon a nation, upon a people, you know, 9/11, what do? You know, God bless America, but what about 9/12, 9/13, and October, and November, and December? Well, then the Supreme Court gets in there and says, no, you can't pray before a football game. American Civil Liberties Union, you know, they're going to sue you. And then what happens? Well, then you lose hundreds of thousands of dollars for your school district, and then you're not doing right for your constituents. And it's such a mess. And, you know, why? Because they want their religion. Their religion of atheism is a religion serving no God. It's just as much a religion as serving Christ or serving God. So verse 12, the sixth vial. The Bible says, and the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. So they're going to come across the great river Euphrates, and that's later on you'll see. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast. And out of the mouth of the false prophet. So each one of these frogs comes out of these three mouths. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles. You know, this is how the world views these three frogs. You know, the Budweiser frogs. And in reality, it says, for they are the spirits of devils. In reality, it's more like that. Working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon. So what you've got is Megiddo over there, and I still didn't get those pictures I mentioned last week. But you've got Armageddon there, Megiddo. And they're all gathered together in this valley. And you know, you've already read earlier about the blood going up to the horses' bridles, 200 miles long, probably 3 feet deep. And then verse 17 is the seventh vial. And it says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. There came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague. That's the third time they blasphemed God and mentioned. For the plague thereof was exceeding great, the Bible says. So there's the whole of chapter 16, all 21 verses. And when you look at this, it's God's wrath upon man. And, you know, I know Christians, you know, are calling for and saying, hey, I don't understand why, you know, men seem to get away with so much. And really, it's coming to a head right here. The church is gone. All believers are gone. To say that, well, we'll still be here, that's insane. How can you look at this situation and know the promise that God gave to believers during the church age? The Bible says we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And look, and it says comfort one another with these words. Well, I haven't given you one word of comfort yet. Here it is. You won't be here if you're saved. And listen, it is a matter of understanding the promises of God. This is not a reward to the church for being holy. What's the Bible say? It makes it very clear there's going to become a falling away first. Why are people not worshiping God the way that they did in years past? Why is it so hard to get people that are faithful? Now, I'm preaching to the faithful. Sunday school, you're here. You know, Wednesday night, you know, if you're here, you're here. The faithful are going to become less faithful. And it's going to become harder. Men shall wax worse and worse. That's how the Bible describes it. So what do I anticipate? It's going to get worse. What am I going to do? I'm going to be determined to do everything I can do to serve God, live for Him. And we're going to do this. We're going to live as though He's coming back today and plan as though we're going to be here for a while. Just replace the air conditioning heating system back there on Friday. And I'll tell you what, the whole ductwork had caved in when they took the dog cage off. What was that night, Friday night? I had a hard time breathing because of, you know, I was out there and that stuff was just fine powder. And it was just completely crushed. So it's a good thing. And that may be why we got moisture in the building, too, because we're pushing all that in. And the dog cage, which is the metal around it, was not airtight. So, you know, you say, well, why would you replace that if Jesus is coming back? Well, in 1988, I almost quit Bible college because Jesus was coming back. Again, you plan as though you're going to be here, grow old and die. You don't go, you know, I'll tell you this, in 1988, you know what some people did? Some good godly Christians, they went out and got credit cards, ran up all that debt, said, I'll just leave it to the creditors. They thought the rapture was going to happen. Now that is, you know, that's wicked. That's no, you know, you don't do that. So what are we going to do? We're going to plan. We got a big conference planned for February. And guess what? I'm going to put in the time. We're going to put in the time. We're going to prepare for it. We're going to plan for it. And if Jesus comes back before February, somebody else can take it over. I'm out of here. None of y'all will be here to take it over. But, you know, I heard somebody say several years ago, the teaching on the pre-tribulation rapture was debilitating to the church. They said that because Christians became complacent. Why do I need to do that if Jesus is coming back? Why do we plan? Why do we, you know, why do we have long-term ideas? Isn't that a lack of faith? It's not. It's not. I expect Jesus today in my life. And because of that, the Bible says I ought to be a peculiar person, zealous of good works. And it goes on and it describes those that are looking for Jesus. But you don't let it be debilitating. You don't quit planning. You don't quit doing what you're supposed to do because Jesus is coming back. You double down and say, when he comes back, you know, we're going to leave this place and they're going to come in here and look around and go, hey, you know, they cared about the place. They cared about each other. They loved one another. They, you know, put the prayer cards on the back. We got the missionaries and hopefully every missionary will be gone. They'll go back there and they'll look at that missionary and go, yeah, I heard he's gone. He's gone. She's gone. They're gone. And they go across that thing and listen, glory to God. We're going to continue to do what we're doing. Now, it's not easy for me. I just soon be out in the community every day trying to reach people, trying to talk to them, build relationships. I'd much rather be doing, and I like construction to a certain degree, but I'd rather be out in the community. Let's go back verse by verse. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Yeah, that's the way it is originally. So I'll leave that up there and just go through these. 16, verse 1. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying of the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So when you look, it says great voice, and that word great is used 72 times in the book of Revelation. 8 times in chapter 16, the word great. And you'll see that with great earthquake, I think 3 times in Revelation. Sometimes what you can do is look at great earthquake and realize that it's the same earthquake, but you're going through Daniel's 70th week several times. Verse 2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore. So noisome means annoyance with offensive conditions, particularly the sense of smell. It's a fetid or putrid rotting of the flesh. So that's what we're looking at here. When you look at sore, the question is always asked, what natural occurrence could have caused the sore? So we'll look at the natural occurrences. Does it have to be a natural occurrence? The answer is no. You know, God can just do this to people. But when you look at leprosy, God devoted 3 long chapters in Leviticus, chapters 13, 14, and 15, to the study of leprosy. Leprosy is a dreaded disease. Still has no cure. In its final stages, it literally consumes the flesh so that it rots off the bone. Some people wonder what will happen to those who are physically forced to take the mark of the beast. Well, this is it. The key to the mark is the worshiping of the beast. Those not willing to worship him will not be physically forced to take the mark. Satan wants people to take the mark so long as they willingly submit to the system. And I get this question a lot, so I'll answer it now. Can you be forced to take the mark and be condemned? And the answer is no. Because it's take the mark and worship the beast. You worship willingly. Who will worship the beast? Those that are deceived. Because the Bible says everybody that worshiped the beast was deceived. And that's why they worshiped him. That's why they took the mark. And there'll be other people that say, well, what will people do if they draw them before the judgment seat and they got their whole family there and the dad is seeing his wife being ravished, whatever, the children being, you know, abused and heads chopped off. What is he going to do? He's not going to be deceived into thinking taking the mark is the solution. It's that simple. Why would he take the mark if it's going to happen to his children and family anyway? And their souls are going to be condemned for eternity if they take the mark. That's deception. So realize that. It's not going to be like a lot of people envision it and they say, you know, well, no, you have to be deceived to take the mark. And if God protects you from deception, you have eternal security. Now, what about skin cancer? It's more likely this disease will relate to what happens when the fourth vial is poured out. It still has possibilities, the skin cancer. So you look at the fourth vial and you'll see some things about that. How about AIDS? So I studied up on AIDS a little bit more this morning. The loathsome disease often leads to a form of cancer that leaves visible sores on the flesh. It may be that all who take the mark develop an AIDS-type disease caused by HIV or human immune deficiency virus. That's what HIV is. In 1982, it was first officially dubbed GRID, gay-related immune deficiency, informally called the gay plague or GRIDs, when clusters of Kaposi sarcoma and pneumocystis pneumonia among sodomites in Southern California and New York City, they found it there. I realize, you know, where was it found? Southern California. And then, you know, hemophiliacs, those that have a blood problem, you know, they have transfusions. Some of them got it. And then a lot of prostitutes that had relations with those that are homosexual. So it's all interrelated. So what they did was, listen, it became political, if you remember. They said, we can't call it GRIDS because you can't raise money. You can't, the government wanted it renamed, and then the institute, you know, followed and renamed it. Instead of GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency, it became AIDS. I mean, doesn't AIDS sound like you should aid them? And yeah, listen, there are innocent people that died from this because of you know, needles that were infected. But the one or two or ten children that they pushed out there and said, look at this, compared to the thousands that chose the lifestyle that brought it upon them. There's no relationship. So, you know, you look at it and you say, well, you know, I don't know what you'd say. I'm just telling, let's, you know, move on. And then transponders is another idea. So again, these are natural elements. The new transponders that have been created to keep track of animals or merchandise can be placed under the skin of a human using a hypodermic needle. And they're actually doing this. You could go into some work atmospheres and you've got this chip that's been put in, transponder, and just wave your arm and it opens the door. It's got all your credit information. And it only works if you've got heat of the body. So they can't, you know, chop your arm off and take your hand and take it and use it. Because they thought that through. But the transponder signals energized by lithium batteries. You know, the ones you can't put in your luggage because they might explode on a plane. Well, that's what they use to give power to these things they inject in you. If the seal is broken, it'll cause lithium leakage that can cause a grievous sore. So again, those are the natural elements. Can God just put sores on them? Sure. He can just do it naturally. We'll look at verse 3 for the second vial, and we'll close on this. Revelation 16:3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. so became the blood of a dead man. When that second angel sounded his trumpet in Revelation 8:8, 1/3 of the sea became blood, which resulted in the death of 1/3 of the life in the sea. Here, all the sea turns into blood without limitation. Can you imagine the smell? Blood has a distinct odor to it. When blood leaves the body, two things happen. The blood congeals. This would not only make it impossible for ships to sail, but would make it impossible for the sea life to breathe. It'll stink horribly. There are only a few more repugnant smells than coagulated, stale blood. We'll look at verse 4 because it's going to talk about the rivers. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters. They became blood. In Revelation 8:10, a similar incident occurred. A star called Wormwood, if you remember studying that, fell into and affected the rivers and fountains of waters. The difference between the two events is that the wormwood made the waters bitter. The vial in this chapter turns the water into blood. A cup of cold water will be most precious. Remember the rich man in hell? He said, send Lazarus, they may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. Can you imagine? I mean, I'm thirsty right now. I'm thirsty because I'm thirsty. But thinking about it, I drink a lot of water. And I have people that come up to me and they have arthritis, and I'll ask them, do you drink water? Debilitating arthritis where the hand is crippled. I remember one in particular. She was a deacon's wife in Alabama. I said, do you drink water? And she says, never. I said, your body is water. You must drink water. And she started drinking water. She had surgery on one hand and not the other. And then when she started drinking the water, the arthritis didn't clear up and go away, but it stopped becoming more debilitating. So make sure you drink water. And today's lesson is to make you appreciate water even more. I don't drink Coke hardly at all. And I read a book back in 1985 by Malkmus was his name, God's Simple Plan Health or something. He said every time you drink a Coca-Cola soft drink, white blood cells go to your stomach to digest the Coke, meaning your immune system is compromised because of drinking that. So, and listen, I can tell you after 40 years, I guarantee that's the case. So just realize it's arthritic, it lowers your immune system, and that's my special health announcement to you today. To just those of you that drink Coke, you'll be like, oh, you ruined it for me. No, you will probably still drink Cokes. However, I've gotten quite a few people stop because it affects you. It affects your immune system, it affects your body, it affects the arthritis and everything else. So let's all stand together after that positive note. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down from heaven's glory. Lord, we pray for all those that are sick and unable to be here. Pray that, Lord, you would just help them to make it back to be with us. Those that are homebound, we pray especially for them. Lord, just help them in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.